Scripture this morning is Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We've been looking at relationships under the large banner of dignity. And last week we looked at the issue of equality from Genesis chapter 1, 2 and 3. But this morning I want to highlight the maleness and the femaleness of God's creation and how we are different. And how, in fact, there is dignity in difference. Now, there's two mistakes that we make. One is that we minimise differences in our sexuality, in our makeup. And that's a mistake because it leads to confusion and a lack of honouring and thanking God for who we are. So we have the emergence of a whole new community now, which is called the genderqueer community. It's made up of people who are transgender. Non-binal is one of the words used to describe that community. And there is now a whole confusion emerging in the issue of gender. Now, partly as a community or as a culture, we are responsible for that because I think that we fail to affirm our sons and our daughters as they move through successive stages of development. Now, you'll know in some cultures that that happens. For instance, in the Jewish culture, they have what's called the bar mitzvah, which is a celebration. And they also have the bat mitzvah, which is a celebration of boys and girls from childhood into emerging adulthood. And there's something so affirming about that. So we need to cop some of the flack around this gender confusion and not affirming maleness and femaleness. Do you realise the very fact that some people are uncomfortable with their gender assignment highlights that there is evidence for distinctions and differences? However, the other mistake that we make is that once we've spoken about differences, we then go ahead and we prescribe what those differences are going to mean in the home or in a relationship. And sometimes we're too prescriptive about those things, and I'll speak a little bit more about those later on. So this morning, I simply want to touch on those two mistakes that we can possibly make. One is not affirming the differences, and the other is pushing those too far and being too prescriptive about what it means in roles, gender roles in families and partnerships and businesses, etc. So first of all, I want to explore the differences. Now, big statement here. Many of the things I'll say this morning are generally true and are stereotypical. I admit that. Okay? Now, things are generally true because they are generally true. It's like, you know it's cold outside when you step outside and it's cold, right? So some of these things are going to sound like they're stereotypical, but they are the general rule. If this doesn't apply to you, don't have a cow. Don't give birth to kittens and suddenly get all confused and flustered and angry with me because these things are generally true. I'm sorry if they're not true for you, but I am speaking in broad brushstrokes of thought. So let's just spend a little bit of time thinking about the differences between men and women. First of all, there are physical differences. Two main areas of differences I want to speak about: physical differences and psychological. So there's a difference in strength between men and women. On average, men are stronger than women. 40% of a man's body weight is muscle. Or should be. Or used to be. Compared to 23% of a woman's body weight as muscle. However, and look, this is why the Apostle Peter says, husbands, be considerate of your wives who are the weaker sex. Now, all he is saying is he is making a statement of fact that generally women are weaker than men in just pure strength. It's not a put down, because then he goes on to say, who are what? Fellow heirs with you in your inheritance in Christ. However, women are constitutionally more resilient than men. That comes into its own at this time of the year when we are plagued with the flu, right? And women are constitutionally stronger than men when it comes to the flu. And I'm not going to mention it. But the man flu. Now, I do realise that some of you men have had a bad bout of the flu this year. And I do realise it's been more than the man flu. But isn't it true that when the man is in the middle of his man flu, in the midst of his suffering, he knows exactly how his wife felt when she gave birth to their children. And you know what? The idiot has the gall to actually say that to his wife. Women, on average, live longer than men. The average lifespan of women in this country is 83 point something. And the lifespan of men and women is growing exponentially. So men live an average of 80. And I remember the days when that was 76 and 79. And it's just increasing. A woman's heart rate, a woman's heart beats more rapidly than a man's. Not necessarily when she sees her man, but it does. And a woman's heart beats at 80 beats per minute, whereas a man is 72 on average. Again, these are averages. A woman's metabolism is normally lower than a man's. She has less red blood cells. But a woman's vital capacity or breathing power is lower than a man's as well. So a woman is more resilient, but not for the length of time that a man might be resilient for. And of course, there's a whole range of physical differences between men and women in women that allow them to bear children. So there's pregnancy and there's menstruation and lactation and all of those things that God has given women for the capacity to bear children, if they so choose. Okay, physical differences. We know, don't we? We should know. Psychological differences. Now, this is a big area, and this is the area that is somewhat disputed by scientists. So I just acknowledge that. But the big issue with psychological differences between men and women is the composition and the function of a woman's brain and a man's brain. So, with a man's brain, there are less connections between the two hemispheres, between the left and the right. In fact, most men tend to be left brain orientated. So, the left brain is the reasoning, logical side of the brain. This is broad brushstrokes. The right side of the brain is the creative, intuitive side. Most men tend to be more in the left brain area. So the question is, how much brain is left? That question is often asked of men. How much brain is left? You'll get that soon enough. What happens with women is this, that when the little girl is in her mum's womb, she receives a special chemical wash. And this chemical wash washes over her brain, and it allows for more connections between the two hemispheres of the brain. Now, Mark Gunga, who is a Christian author, writer and presenter, talks about the men's brain as a whole series of boxes, okay? So if you imagine the men's brain over here, and he's got, his brain is compartmentalized into boxes. He's got a box for everything. Okay, he's got a box for the car. He's got a box for the house. He's got a box for the job. He's got a box for the family. He's even got a box for the mother-in-law in the basement. And now, the way the man's brain works is this, that he takes out one box at a time. and opens that one box, just the one box. Not two, just one. And he looks in that box and he sees the random access memory in that box, and he can articulate or think about just what's in that one box. And once he's done that articulation or thinking, he shuts the lid and he's careful to place the box back where it came from without touching any other boxes. And that's the way his brain works. The woman, on the other hand, who has so many more connections between the two hemispheres of her brain is like the internet superhighway. And there's all these synapses and connections, and she remembers everything, and she's got all these things going on at any one given time. So there is an essential physiological difference between the brain of a man and the brain of a woman. Now, ladies, there is a box that you've always suspected men have got, but no one's ever put a label on it for you, and this morning I'm going to do that, and that box is this. This is our go-to box. It's called the nothing box. It's our go-to box. And the men here are nodding, yep. And so what we do is we go to our, when we're stressed, we go to our nothing box. And this is why we men can do mindless things for hours on end, like fishing. When we're in our nothing box, we are thinking about nothing. And it annoys the soul case out of women who think, how can someone be doing nothing? It annoys you, ladies, I know, that we can do nothing, assume a vegetative state, and still breathe. What are you doing? Nothing. Just sitting there reading the paper. What are you doing? Nothing. Walk over to the shed. What are you doing in the shed? Nothing. Do you want to talk about it? No. Can I come into the nothing box? No. If you come into the nothing box, you want to decorate it with wallpaper and put furniture around it, and it won't be the nothing box anymore. So women, what happens is when a man is stressed, he will go to his nothing box. Men, I need to say to you, if you go to your nothing box, you need to assure your wife, your partner, your girlfriend that you are coming out at some stage, because this is the great fear that they have. So let me just speak about what it means practically for men and women to have different brains. One is the words, communication. A woman, on average, will speak about 25,000. Some of you, it's 50,000. But it's 25,000. It's 25,000 words a day. For men, it's half that. Now, you imagine the lady who has been home, if this is her life situation, she's at home with the children, and she hasn't had one intelligible conversation all day. The husband comes home and he's used up his quota of words at work. What does he want to do? He wants to go to the nothing box. What does the wife want to do? She wants to talk. Talk, talk, talk. What are you doing? Nothing. Do you want to talk about it? No. Go away. So there is a difference. Now, this has been observed in young children. Young girls in the playground, aged between, say, 1 and 3, they start chatting. Chat, 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 chat. Now, they're not actually vocalising words or forming words, but they're going chat, 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 chat. What are the boys doing? Same study, 40 years later. Women, chat, chat, chat. What are the boys doing? I'm just kidding, but... little girls. Now, I've known this to be right in terms of study and research, but I saw it the other day with my granddaughter, Hadassah. She had a 3-minute conversation with Mr. Potato Head about nothing. I'm sure it wasn't about nothing, but she had this whole conversation with Mr. Potato Head. Her twin, Abel, who's not a twin by, not genetically a twin, but born the same day, what does he do? He's walking around the house pulling things off shelves, making a mess. And Hadassah is beginning to articulate. And so women are more advanced, generally speaking, in the development of their speech and their communication. But it's not just that, it's what words mean. So let me just take an example. 5 minutes, the phrase 5 minutes. For a man, 5 minutes means 5 minutes. It means that the large hand of the clock is going to rotate around the watch or the clock five times 60 seconds, 5 minutes. For a woman, 5 minutes is an undetermined period of time. When are you going to be ready? 5 minutes? Oh, I might go and renovate the garage. Here's another word. The word nothing. For a man, nothing means nothing. We invented nothing. We've even got a box for it. But when you hear a woman say nothing, nothing means something. And if she hasn't got the knives out already, she's going to get them out, and you better get out of the house. What about this? A sigh. A sigh for a man, and a sigh is just a vocalization, but a sigh for a man means, everything in the world is good. For a woman, a sigh means you're an idiot. That's what it means. When I fell out of the tree, see, some women skip right across the sigh and they go straight to, you're an idiot. And when I fell out of the tree, Karen came racing out the back door, you idiot! And the reason she said it like that, was that I was standing up. But what she didn't realise was that I had a broken arm, 3 broken bones in my back, half a missing finger, and I was about to fall over and go unconscious. So technically she was right. I was an idiot. What about this word? Go ahead. Go ahead. For a man, that's just a blunt go ahead. But for a woman, go ahead means you better explain that stupid knucklehead thing that you've just done. Which is going to be followed by a sigh, which will lead to an argument about nothing. And it means you ain't getting any loving for at least 5 minutes. Stress. When a woman is stressed, she wants to talk to everyone about everything, continually. And if at some point the man hears her, which he should, you know what he's going to do, don't you? He's going to offer her his best solution. And you know what that's going to lead to? Nothing. The knives are going to come out. And men, we do this. We, you know, all our ladies want to do is they just want to talk. They don't want your best solution. They just want to talk. And you ask her how she feels. And she doesn't know. Give her 5 minutes. When a man is stressed, mostly what he wants to do is go to his nothing box. The detail. Women are very good at remembering things and have an insatiable appetite for detail. Now, I'm getting myself prepared because Karen will be home mid-afternoon and honestly, she will want to tell me everything. But I won't be able to remember everything, but she will want to tell me everything. Men are, we're just the bottom line. Give me the big picture and the bottom line. Ever had this phone call? Husband picks up the phone. Who is it? Hangs up the phone, has a conversation. Who was that? Well, that was just Doris and Fred. They've just had a baby. The wife says, what do they have? The husband says, a baby. Well, how long was it? You know, what did it weigh? What's its name? What's its sex? I don't know. It was a baby. When you ask a man, women, when you ask a man how, just a few hints here, when you ask a man how his day was, you know what he does? He panics. It's a point of panic for a man. It was good. The multitasking. Men are usually very, very singular-minded in their approach to doing things. This is why, and please, ladies, don't kill me, but this is why men will rise to the top of certain fields where you would expect a woman to be more proficient. For example, most of the best chefs in the world are men. Some of the best fashion designers are men. It's not because they have more skill or capacity, it's just that they are single-minded. Now, this single-mindedness can lead to severe problems, especially on holidays, and I'm going to go there, I'm going to talk about the road trip. Because for women, the road trip is about the journey. Ah, oh, it's about the journey. You've said that, or you've heard it, men? Ah, oh, it's about the journey. And for men, we haven't heard something more nonsensical than that statement. Because for us, it's about the destination. And we used to travel a lot from Airlie Beach down to the Sunshine Coast, and for me, it was about the destination. I had to get there quicker than the last time I went, and quicker, certainly, than everyone else on the road. So we would sit down and we would have a pre-road trip briefing with the kids, and our kids were small at the time, and so I would say, righto kids, we're travelling down to the sunny coast, we're going to Nan and Pop's place, make sure you go to the toilet before you get in the car. We had all the snacks in the car, everything was ready to go. And I said, now we are going to stop on the way, right? First stop, Caloundra. So we get past Proserpine. Dad, I've got to go to the toilet. Just cross your legs. We're going to try and make it to Mackay. Stop in Proserpine. Leave Proserpine. Go through Bloomsbury. Dad, I've got to go to the toilet. Cross your legs. You know, my plan was to have one stop. But, you know, Bloomsbury, Cuttable, Mackay, Serena, Clearview, Marlborough, Rockhampton, Mount Larkham, Gingin, Childers. I know them all, and they're etched in my memories, and the memories aren't good. We went down south once, and we travelled down the Newell Highway. Why? Because we were going to stop and look at the wildflowers. Oh, we're going to stop and look at the wildflowers. Which ones? There's 900 kilometres of wildflowers in spring on the Newell Highway. I think we looked at every second one of them. Women are very, very good with multitasking. I can walk into the room, the lounge room, and Karen is texting on the mobile phone. She's downloading a menu on the iPad. She's handwriting whatever she is, and she's watching TV. So I walk in, pick up the remote. Hey, I was watching that. You were? Men are not good at multitasking. That's why, ladies, you should never give your man more than one child to look after. Because he'll look after that one child, whichever it is, probably his favourite. You know, if your children scatter, they run off. You know what you do as a parent. You just grab your favourite and keep them. So he'll look after that one child, and the wife will come home and she'll go, honey, where are the rest of the kids? And he'll go, we've got more kids. So wives, Don't give your husband vital information if he's already doing something. And the other thing is, this kind of frustrates us a little bit. I hope I'm being even-handed here. But what frustrates us is when you start a conversation, and this happened to me the other day, I was in the shower with the shower going, shower rose, da-da-da-da-da, showering. Karen was in the room next door, which is like a little powder room, with the sliding door shut, and she was blow-drying her hair, and she had started a conversation while she was blow-drying her hair. I didn't hear anything. So I'm having a shower, you know, get dressed, and Karen says, "Have you been listening to me?" And I thought, that's a really, really weird way to start a conversation. So you have this capacity, like, and I'd like to test it sometime, how far out of the house I can move and still hear my wife speaking, telling me something that's obviously very important to her. We just don't get it. Okay, nearly finished. The chores. Now, I joked a couple of weeks ago that, ladies, if you want your man to do something, you need to remind him, he doesn't need to be reminded every 6 months. And everyone laughed. But I want to speak about this very seriously because this is a bugbear in relationships, stuff that doesn't get done. And, you know, the lady of the house usually wants to have things done. So let me just say a couple of things. You do have to ask more than once. It is a known fact, actually, scientifically, that men do have selective hearing. A man can hear this conversation. "Honey, would you mind laying down the mulch? Then can you go and get some milk? And when you come back, I'll tell you the rest." You know what he hears? "Honey, lay down and have a rest." That's what he's heard. So you do need to say specifically what, but I'll tell you, ladies, don't disrespect the boy when you're asking him to do something. Now, let me say two things here. Men, let me speak to you. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Which means, husbands, you are to give your wife your unconditional love, which includes doing stuff around the house. Because that is a measure, that is a sign of your unconditional love and commitment to her. Regardless of her response. Ladies, speaking to your heart now, you need to think, you need to be savvy with this, you need to think about how your boy was raised. This is how he was raised. If you eat your dinner, you get dessert. If you do your homework, you get to play in the backyard. If you work hard, you'll be paid at the end of the week. So your husband grew up under a bartering system. Some of you are going, this is really messing with your head, and you're saying things like, "Shouldn't have to ask him. You should love me enough to do this stuff anyway." I'm not sure whose voice sounds like that. "And not only that, he should want to do it." Guess what? He doesn't. Because he's got a tiny pea brain. He hasn't figured it out yet. And he works on a bartering system. Here's a conversation that you should have with your husband. "Honey, I see that you haven't been fishing for weeks. If you clean up the garage, I think I can see my way clear to look after the house and the kids while you go fishing." He's out of that seat faster than a goat down a cliff, and that garage will be sparkling clean. There's a few areas where you shouldn't do this in your marriage, and you shouldn't use some aspects of your relationship to barter. Sex is one of those, and I want to speak more about that in the weeks to come, because sex is sacred and you should never barter sex. But ladies, for other things, get savvy. And husbands, love your wives in the way Christ loved the church. Two more. Emotions. The problem with men is that we do not connect the thought with the emotion. And ladies look at us and just say, "No, you're just an emotional wasteland. Don't you ever cry? Don't you feel anything?" My father passed away. I sat beside him and I cried for about a minute. And then I'm thinking, "Oh, I better ring Gregson's and tell them that Dad's passed away. They'll have to come in tomorrow. Or we better start thinking about what we're going to do for Dad's funeral. I know things are worked out." And then my brain kicked into gear about the things that I needed to do. It's just the way I work. I got home, and I'm sitting next to Karen. I got home on Wednesday morning. Sitting next to Karen on the couch, having a coffee. She keeps looking across at me. Every couple of minutes, looking across at me. I said, "You're waiting for me to cry, aren't you?" She said, "Yeah." I said, I have cried. And I've cried since. I cried last night. And I thought about my dad. But we don't connect the thought and the emotion as well as you do. It's just the way we are. Leading on from that, women tend to be more relationally connected than men. Because you know everything about everyone. Like, when you look at the calendar that we've got in our toilet, everyone's birthday is on that calendar. And while Dad was ill, my sister had her birthday and Karen rang me up and she said, "Have you said happy birthday to your sister?" I said, "Which one? I've got five." I didn't know whose birthday it was. Come on. Flat out remembering the birthdays of my kids. So women tend to be more relationally focused and men tend to be more task-oriented. And women tend to find their esteem and their purpose in relationships. And men tend to find their purpose and esteem in what they do. It's just the way we are. Now, let me just speak for one quick minute about prescribing men. Because what the church has done is the church has taken these differences between men and women, and there's a lot more differences, I know. We've taken these differences between men and women and we have prescribed what that should look like in the home. And sometimes to a ridiculous degree, like we've said, not we, but you know, maybe the thought has been, the culture has determined, that the man should drive the car. How many of you grew up thinking it's biblically, theologically sound for the man to drive the car? Where do we get that from? Can you imagine Simona de Silvestri's husband saying to her, and she's a supercar driver, she does it for a living, saying to her, "I think I should drive the car"? She would go, "Move over, chorus boy, I've got this covered," right? So we have taken these differences and we have prescribed them to a ridiculous extent. Now let me say this. For some of you who think I'm just deconstructing everything that you've believed about traditional roles in the home, etc., I do believe that the mandate for the man of the house is to lead. And here is the mandate statement. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's the mandate for a man to lead, which just smacks of responsibility and sacrifice. And not dominance, and not power. And I want to speak more about that in the weeks to come. So without prescribing what these differences mean, let me say this. This is both biblical and experience speaking here. Biblically, every woman, bar none, wants to be cherished. And biblically and from experience, every man, bar none, wants to be respected. So whatever you do in your household, however the roles are arranged according to gender differences, every woman wants to be cherished and every man needs to be respected. So in 1 Peter 3, husbands, cherish. Wives, respect your husbands. In Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And however the dynamic in your house works out, those are the things that are non-negotiable. Let me get back to the last difference between men and women. The movies. Men like guy flicks. We like it when we're watching a movie and there's fast cars, there's things that get blown up, and I don't mean to glorify death, but we don't mind it when one or two people die, especially if it's gory, okay? Fast cars, things are blown up, and people are dying. That's a man flick. Chick flick. That's a whole other story. Women, you can watch a movie about four women sitting around a table talking for 2.5 hours, and that's a chick flick. And you know what we're doing? We're going... We're reaching for the remote. You know what chick flicks and guy flicks have in common? You ever seen this? You get to the end of a chick flick like Jerry Maguire, for instance. What happens? He comes back for the girl. You watch a guy flick and you know that it's an action scene. You know, things are getting blown up, people are driving tanks and trucks and there's, you know, bits of whatever. And in the middle, the hero will go, "Wow, guys, got to leave it to you. Got something I got to do." He walks off. He's going back for the girl. You know, chick flicks and guy flicks have one thing in common, and it's this. The guy comes back for the girl. Even the old westerns. You know the old westerns? He'd be right now. He's got his guns, you know. He's away for 2 years. Doing what he's doing. Blowing things up. Comes back. And there on the horizon, you see the little cottage with the smoke coming out of the chimney. And he's got bandages and he's all wounded and he's done what he's had to do. Goodness knows what that is. He's coming back for the girl. So men, let me say this to you. You do what you need to do as conquerors, as leaders. Don't forget the girl. Because what your girl needs is to be cherished. And ladies, what your husband needs is to be respected for what he does. Whether that's out there running a business, whether he's a stay-at-home parent, whether he's studying, he needs to be respected. And husbands, your wife needs to be cherished. My mum and dad knew each other for about 66 years, married for 62. And they had a good marriage. It wasn't perfect, but they had a good marriage because Dad never, ever forgot his girl.